It was hard to get through that first hymn without hearing the words eternal and changing, because we've sung them for years. And yet the truth is that the amazing thing about our relationship with God is that God is eternal and with us, but how we experience and see and name God changes over time, in the same way that we change and grow over time. Have you checked in with the way you name God lately? Have you had the chance to wonder about what names and thoughts about God matter or mean? For that's theological work, theology, the thought about God. And I wonder where we bump up against images that resonate or feel like home, and where other images seem incongruent or harmful. And I often find these images when I least expect them. And for a few weeks now, I've sat with a few images of God that come from a Canadian novel called The Spoon Stealer, written by Leslie Crew, the author who we're going to meet online on Tuesday night at Islington Reads, who lives in Nova Scotia. And in that story, we meet a little girl named Emmeline, the youngest of five, with four older brothers who grew up on a farm in Nova Scotia and had the deep love of her brother Teddy, and not often the love and acceptance from members of her family or friends. He was kind and generous and always looked out for her. And in writing her memoirs, she tells a story of one day on the farm they found a small kitten that wouldn't have survived because it was separated from its mother. And Teddy opened up a pouch that he always carried, and in it was a small spoon, just in case you'd need it. He filled that small spoon with warm milk, fresh from the cow, and he fed it gently to the kitten. And he taught Emmeline that sometimes people, like animals, only need a spoonful of kindness. When one experiences and comes close to this kind of love, one becomes changed. And Emmeline was changed by her brother's love. She grew up to live through two world wars, to experience deep loss and tumultuous family relationships, but she receives and she offers over and over a spoonful of kindness to so many people in so many places. And she learned to use this kindness to color outside the lines of all expectations of who she was supposed to be, who she should love. In fact, it's Emmeline I want you to picture as a grown woman. She describes herself as sturdy and a lover of tweed skirts and stockings, living in England, brave enough to write her memoir that became the image for me of the spirit of love. She joined a group at the local library and made new friends to open up and to be vulnerable and to keep encouraging the best in others. I can't tell you very much more about her story, because this novel is so full of some good surprises and much hope and tears and courage and actions of deep generosity. It helped me to come close to unconditional love and what it looks like. And because the story spans an entire lifetime, it's helpful to see how the arc of our lives can bend not just towards justice, but also towards goodness and faith. This powerful novel reminded me how often we assume we know people's stories. And when we meet them somewhere along the way, we have no idea what endings and beginnings they have faced. It taught me about the humility it takes to listen when people are trying to offer themselves in service to the world. It taught me about the joy of acts of generosity, especially when they come unplanned and surprised. And how we can give people the benefit of the doubt. Emmeline models often apologizing when she speaks out of turn, reminding me how often I wish after I'd said something, I followed up and said, I could have said it differently. I would have used different words, or I wonder if you could teach me how to speak in a way so that this could be heard and received. And in this model of the spirit of love, I find something I'm not always used to. Good boundaries. Making hard choices. And trusting that sometimes when you draw a line in the sand, that things can impact best for everyone. That knowing what love looks like also involves moments of saying no and holding people to account to what they commit to, what they agree to, what they hope for. There's a problem with my image of God, and maybe of Jesus too, is that we often can see him as constantly giving, constantly offering. Yet there are so many moments along the way where there's time to go away and retreat to pray, where there are moments of saying no because the capacity isn't there, not for love, but for loving well. So loving well includes boundaries that help people be themselves and saying this is what building a safe place looks like. And always in the midst of it, there's room for grace. For the experience of God's grace to show us a different way to speak, a different way to hold space, different ways to welcome. And for the four-legged lovers, well, Emmeline's dog Vera, who speaks, by the way, reminding me that it's no coincidence that dog is God spelled backwards. For we need all of creation to be included in that circle of welcome. Whether it's through a novel or a neighbor, an article, a TV program, a conversation, a podcast, an encounter, or your own story and experiences of love, all of this helps us glimpse God's spirit. And like a prism, it breaks open white light so we glimpse the spectrum. God's spirit opens us to the spectrum and breadth of God's love for us all. Wherever God's spirit is at work in the world, people are drawn more deeply to love. Whatever ember of love for goodness flickers within us, however feeble or small, that's what the Spirit works with. Until that spark glows warmer and brighter. And from the tiniest beginning, our whole lives, our whole hearts, mind, body, and soul can be set aflame with the love of God. If we don't know where to begin to love God, it's not really that different than loving another human being. We celebrate that love on this Pride Sunday, that this love is a wide circle. And when we speak of loving another, we move toward them in a special way. We appreciate their qualities. We respect and honor the beloved's dignity. And we enjoy the beloved's company and feel curious about who they are. We want to support the beloved's dreams and desires, and we make ourselves available for the beloved to respect and honor and enjoy and know and support us too. Because to be in love is to be in mutual relationship. And this is just what loving God can be like. Moving toward God and saying, "Here I am." Offering appreciation and not taking God for granted, saying thank you and offering praise. And we all know that we do the opposite of loving God sometimes. We do that in our own relationships. We remain aloof or preoccupied. We complain instead of appreciate. We ignore or disrespect rather than honor. And that's where the next step comes in. There's the showing up and the giving thanks, and they're saying, I'm sorry. They're saying it and meaning it. And in saying you're sorry, you move towards the person you've hurt. In the church, we say, Lord, have mercy. We move towards God again, and we receive forgiveness and renew our loving connection. But so often we wait so long for that I'm sorry. And the distance is so far between. It's hard to come back to each other when we wait. And lastly, there's an invitation in loving God to listen deeply. Some people refer to it as those awe moments, moments of awakening or wow or oh. When I was doing my marriage preparation course, Adam and I were given this giant big binder. But the thing I remember most from all those activities was tucked into the front of the big blue binder was a piece of linoleum, just picked up at the local hardware store. And they had us practice doing this exercise back and forth, where when you were holding the linoleum, you had the floor and you got to speak. And then you could pass it to the other to have them speak. But before you passed, they spoke back to you what they had heard. It took the conversation and stretched it out. But it helped us to listen in a different way than when we're so ready to get that floor back for ourselves. And how often are we holding the floor when we need to give it back over to God? We need to also give that to each other. We want to be the church that is full of people listening to understand, for that matters. People witnessing by listening to the LGBTQ+IA community, to Black voices and Indigenous voices. I had a teammate this week say, it's time for clergy to be quiet. Give the pulpit space to hear what hasn't been heard. And I hope when people are driving by outside our congregation's building this week that those 250 ribbons will invite people to listen and to have them know we're making space to listen. It's hard to experience the spirit of love without listening. So God, we offer ourselves and we show up in any way that we can and trust that you accept us, you meet us right where we are. We offer thanks even in this moment for the breath of life. We pay attention to the places where we need to say we're sorry. We put down the floor and make room to listen. We come close to that love that's right here. It's always been with us. Now I want you to imagine an elderly couple who have loved one another a long lifetime, or maybe found each other and created a new lifetime. Or an adult child sitting at the bedside of a dying parent. Because often their love is expressed most powerfully by presence and touch, not by words. Simply being together, holding hands, smiling, sitting close in mutual enjoyment. These are profound expressions of love beyond words. And something like this can develop over time in our relationship with God. No words or music necessary. We can simply and deeply enjoy being together here and now, to be reminded that we are not alone. We are loved. We love. I pray for our community, for each of us, for our broader community, our country, our world, that we will remember our true identity in the family of creation, to be rooted and grounded in love and experience this multi-dimensional love of God that surpasses all knowledge, all words, that we could be filled with that fullness of God that will strengthen us. For there's life in the Spirit. And on this Sunday that recognizes so many expressions of life shared and love given with pride, we name God as the one who colors outside the lines.